Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Close but no cigar. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we explore the method to the madness, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the flight deck as we soar on the red eye all night long, hanging out here at the Fox Sports Radio studios. Good to have you tuned in. We thank you. Otherwise, I'm just talking to myself, and what fun is that? That's no fun. So our lead this hour is kind of obvious. If you've listened to the show, the currency on the show, we've been heavy on the NBA playoffs. We'll continue that theme here, and we'll start with the game that ended not that long ago, the Western Conference semifinals, the second chapter in that particular series, and the Clippers trying to square the books with the Utah Jazz. And I don't know if you saw it. I've heard the ratings for this are not very good. Maybe not. I don't know. I watched it so you didn't have to. I did my public service. And by the way, I don't care about TV ratings. I don't work at Turner or ESPN, and my life doesn't depend on television ratings. I'm more concerned about radio ratings. That's what I worry about. But people downloading and listening. Anyway, get to the point, please. So Donovan Mitchell, again, another masterpiece, 37 points. The Jazz blew a big second-half lead and barely able to escape with their lives against a gutsy Clipper team. 117-111 was the final in that game. So Utah does take a 2-0 lead, but a bit of a wobbly 2-0 lead, all things considered. So let us discuss the question, how much trouble are the Clippers in against the Jazz? Now, you probably think I'm going to use the Maller, the patented Maller scale of panic on this, 1 to 10, with 10 being your new house is at Chernobyl. That's the worst, right? Nuclear fallout. I'm not at a 10. I'm not at a 9. I'm not even at an 8. I am at a 7. 7, you know, close, you know, 7.5, we'll say. But 7 to 7.5, it's very distressing. I will say that. Now, I've got body double, meltdown, and lows. And we will tie all of these things together into this adequate Maller monologue. Now, this was a case of the good, the bad, and the ugly. And better stories in the losing locker room, so we'll focus on the Clippers for the beginning of this. The good is the fact that they punched their way back. The Jazz were absolutely mugging the Clippers for a good chunk of the evening here. It was an ambush to start the game, and the Clippers did not match the effort. That's a little disheartening. I don't think the Jazz are really all much better at all than the Clippers. I think they're pretty even. Down 21, though, in the third quarter, the Clippers put pedal to the metal, a heroic comeback, and they found effort, zone defense, and ta-da! They were right back in the game for the second consecutive evening of basketball in this playoff series. It has come down to the fourth quarter, and the Clippers had chances to win both games 1 and 2, but you don't get anything special. I mean, maybe a pat on the back for having a chance to win both games, but it is encouraging that they didn't get blown out like the Milwaukee Bucks did against Brooklyn, where they were down by 49 points at one point in those two games. And Milwaukee, who pretty much had given up in those games, they came back and they won game 3. So it's a baby step situation. But the Clippers should not be in this situation. Watching Donovan Mitchell, and I feel like I'm responsible. I think the Jazz should give me a playoff share if they end up winning this series, because I went on our affiliate in Salt Lake and trashed Donovan Mitchell based on, again, what I had seen, what I had witnessed, but he is performing outside his means. He's having like an out-of-body type experience here offensively for the Utah Jazz, and it's the kind of thing that makes me scratch my head and question what I am watching. Is this a body double? Right? What do I mean by that? Is this the reincarnation of Dwayne Wade, who hasn't even died yet, from the Flash days with the Miami Heat? Have we all been led astray here? Did, when Dwayne Wade bought a piece of the Jazz, did he also end up getting to play for the team, and they had a like a way back machine going back to when Wade was good as a player back in the day? And that is not the player you expected to show up there. That is not the guy the scouting report said was in that Utah Jazz uniform offensively. He barely missed anything the beginning of the game. Now, he did cool off a little bit, couldn't keep up the pace, but still, 37 points, and the results have been mind-blowing. This is a performance that is of royalty, basketball royalty when you play like this in the playoffs. Now, that being said, it's great. If you look at the numbers here, he has 81 points, I believe, is the total. 45 in Game 1, 37 in Game 2. But did you know, fun fact here, that with Donovan Mitchell on the court, the Jazz were actually outscored. The Clippers actually outscored the Jazz while Mitchell was on the court. He had a minus 2 spider rating. My spidey senses tell me in the game on Thursday. And the things that really break your back when you look at the Jazz, the things that you do not equate that should not happen, or what, like Joe Ingles. When Joe Ingles makes a basket, you feel like that should be worth 6 points instead of 2 or 3. Bojan Bogdanovic. Everywhere I look in these NBA playoffs, there's a Bogdanovic. They're morphing and multiplying and all that, but those were some demoralizing baskets. Those guys scored 8 points in the fourth quarter. All right, now part B of this, as we chat here on Fox, as good as Donovan Mitchell was playing offensively, the Clippers had him flustered at one point. This is another thing that should concern the Jazz here. When the Clippers stormed back to make this a game and actually took the lead in the final quarter, Donovan Mitchell, I don't know if you were watching or not, but he had a meltdown, right? Oh, it was great. I went on the DVR and I went back and I watched it a couple of times. It got better every time. It got better every time. Mitchell was so rattled that he went to hissy fit town. He kicked a chair and he went, he was very upset, right? Very upset. Now, after that, the Jazz did rally back. They made some lucky shots. And really, that's the theme, right? I mean, Jordan Clarkson, who's not all that good, he knocked down an off-balance, circus-style three-point shot. He banked it in without calling glass. But the biggest sin for the Clippers, right, the biggest sin for the Clippers and why they're in an 0-2 hole here is the headliners have not lived up to their press clippings. Clippings. Does anyone know who kidnapped Kawhi Leonard? Does anyone, did he get food poisoning? Or, well, of course, Jordan didn't even get food poisoning. We learned that in the Last Dance there. Last year, the guy we had on the show from Utah. But anyway, listen. has Kawhi been kidnapped by UFOs? Do we know? I mean, what a passive guy who showed up in Salt Lake, and you don't exactly have to be Woj to know that's not going to get it done. Close game, Kawhi Leonard, fourth quarter, Clippers came back, took the lead. He took four shots, made one of them. 2 points. He scored two more points in the fourth quarter of anybody's game. It was anyone's game midway through the fourth quarter. Are you bleeping kidding me? Kawhi Leonard, 1 of 4 in the fourth quarter? That is a travesty. I'm not even blaming like the other players. That's on Kawhi. You know, be the force. Be the difference maker. What are you doing? You're a spectator. That was the third leading scorer on the team. The much maligned Paul George making baskets late. The unacclaimed Reggie Jackson. I was a big fan of his when I was a kid. I loved Mr. October. And he had better stats. There was a stretch in the third quarter where Reggie Jackson, a journeyman guard, was the top player on the entire court. Reggie Jackson was dominating for a stretch, but then couldn't keep it up. Now, the last word here. So let's look big picture here. In terms of being down 2-0 in this series, from the Clippers' perspective, obviously it's less than ideal. And when you take a couple of steps back here, this is not a hyperventilation situation. Like the Clippers have been to this side of the tracks before. They've been in this neighborhood before. We just witnessed it. It's just Sunday. It ended. You know, Luka and the Big Bad Mavericks, greatest player in the world. Luka Doncic, God's gift to the NBA. Couldn't beat the Clippers in Game 7. And now it's time to go down. Here's what we do. Instead of going back to L.A., the Clipper team plane should go to Ohio. And Fox Sports Radio listener Dick in Dayton at the Beaver Creek location of Lowe's. So need to go down to Lowe's and buy some shovels and start digging your way out of the hole that you have given for yourself. Everything is still on the table. All right, and we'll see what kind of scratch and clawing and fighting and all that crap the Clippers have. But if Donovan Mitchell is going to outplay or essentially level off and neutralize the Clippers' top two players, then you don't exactly need a Venn diagram to know how this is going to end. Again, Mitchell, if you look at his numbers here, the first two games, the 45 and then the 37, and that's an 82-point couple of games combined, and Kawhi Leonard has a total of 44 in the two games, and PG-13 with 47. So using Maller math, that works out collectively. Those two guys have 91 points, and Donovan Mitchell has 82, which is essentially a wash. That he's taking care of two guys, matching their production. And really, though, all the I don't know how good the Jazz can feel because they didn't blow the doors off the Clippers, and they had to win the games in the fourth quarter. And all the Jazz have done is hold serve. The series does not tilt in favor of Utah until and unless they win a game in L.A. All the Clippers have to do is win one. As long as they win their home games, they only have to win one in Salt Lake City. So that's the deal on that. Well, let's hear from the head coach of the Paperclips here, Ty Lue, who pointed out, I gave some stats here on this, but here's Ty Lue pointing out, well, Donovan Mitchell's having some tremendous stats and has had a majestic couple of games. The Clippers' problems are not necessarily because of Spider Mitchell.
When he gives the ball up, it's not just him. We're getting beat out the dribble by the other guys, too. You know, they put it back down the floor, attacking. Now we got to help. Now swing for three. So we got to do a better job with our individual defense of taking the challenge one-on-one. That's the first thing. And we know they want to thrive. They thrive off driving kicks, you know, getting to the paint, making plays. So we got to do a better job of closing out to the other guys and keeping them under control.
Yeah. It's that ole, 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 ole. It's that kind of defense. It's like bullfighting, and you know, the bull runs right by you, and boom, a mad dash, a stampede past would-be defensive players. So, hey, the Jazz have won two games, and we'll see what this series provides over the upcoming weekend. But don't worry, we'll be right here to chronicle everything. That's right, your friendly Magic Radio box right here. Anyway,
be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The running of the deer. Well, there wasn't actually a lot of running, but they actually showed up, which is the first time that's happened in the second round series. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we use our devilish charm coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from under the moonlight, camouflaged by the darkness. Hanging out here at the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hope all is good with you. We are back at it again. The NBA playoffs. The story of the day. The story of the night. At least for this hour. And we mentioned earlier the Western Conference. And you can call up. I didn't take any calls on the Jazz Clippers. We had other things we had to do. But you can call up this hour to talk about that. But I'm going to begin the hour two festivities here with a look back at the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets in the house. Now, that is our lead here from the land of cheese curds. If Giannis and the Bucks had any intention to make this series competitive and to get back in the series, they had no choice. They had no choice. They had to beat Brooklyn in the game on Thursday, the early game. Now, if you watched this or not, I was sitting on my ass watching. Chris Middleton, the much maligned Chris Middleton, a thief in the night earlier in this series. 35 points. Giannis Antetokounmpo with 33 points. And more importantly, the Milwaukee Bucks actually held off the Brooklyn Nets. To say this was not an aesthetically pleasing game would be an understatement. The teams in the second half each scored 41 points and shot 34% or worse after halftime. P.U. What stinks? That would be the offense for both of these teams, but Milwaukee made a few more plays, and you did the math on that, and you say, well, let me do my computer-like mind here, and you say, well, if Middleton had 35 and Giannis Antetokounmpo had 33, that's 68 points, 68 out of 84. I almost gave the wrong number. 68 out of 84. That's 79.1% of the Bucks offense. 79.1%. Nobody else even got to 10 points on the basketball. Nobody else that played got to even 10 points. The next highest point total was 9 by Drew Holiday, who had a miserable 4 of 14 game, but did make a big basket late in the game. And the Nets had a shot there at the end with Kevin Durant, a money ball, clank, would have tied the game, did not go in, and so the Nets are mortal. They have lost a game. They still lead the series 2-1. A top-heavy Milwaukee team and a grinded-out type performance. Now, I don't think the game itself is worthy of a monologue, but there is a story, a subplot, that is worthy of the Maller monologue treatment. And it's very interesting for talk radio purposes. It involves the two-time MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, he is suffering a glitch in his giddy-up from the foul line. Just 2 of 7 in the first half. Did make a couple in the second half, but the key moments in this game, the things that you'll remember, at least for the next couple days, that Giannis was called for a 10-second violation in the second quarter. I remember that happening to Shaquille O'Neal and Karl Malone, and I'm sure it happened to others, but it very, very rarely happens, like once in a blue moon type situation. And Giannis also shot an air ball from the foul line. An air ball. This is one of the top players in the NBA, and he continues to be a hot mess from the charity strip. So that's the story here. So let us discuss the question. While the Bucks won the game and get back into the series, does Milwaukee have a Giannis Antetokounmpo foul shooting problem? I'm nodding my head yes. That is an ulcer-inducing situation. It is. Now, my observations, you've got Superman, Elementary, and Messenger, those three things. And we'll put all of them on the stove, and we're going to make some Baba Ganoush. Make the Baba Ganoush. I'm going to make Jerome in Kansas City. I'm going to make the Baba Ganoush. Now, number one. So this is a sloppy situation for the Bucks going forward. Now, it's one game. And listen, Brooklyn's going to likely win this series. The odds are stacked against Milwaukee, but they're in it. They still got a shot to win it. And Durant could get hurt. Kyrie could quit the team and go protest something, and the Nets are screwed. And Harden's already hurt. So they're attempting to downplay it, the Buck factions. But as good as Antetokounmpo happens to be, this is one of those shortcomings that will ultimately end up holding him back. You don't need me to tell you that. On paper, this does not seem like a big deal to the casual observer. But if you dig a little deeper, it is a pernicious problem. Right? We have seen this derail or limit the success that players can have. We brought up Shaquille O'Neal, the hack-a-shack of Shaquille O'Neal, and Shaq won a bunch of championships, but if he had made a few more foul shots, wouldn't he have been able to win more, right? And there are opportunities there to win many more, and the foul shooting was horrific. And in the case of Giannis, though, it's the yips. it's the yips, right? You know, Superman had kryptonite, which was his problem. In sports, it's the yips. It's involuntary sucking at a time you cannot suck. Performance anxiety. According to the Mayo Clinic, where I always go to get my medical news, the Mayo Clinic says the most common symptoms associated with the yips is an involuntary muscle jerk, although some people experience tremors, twitches, spasms, or freezing. Tick, 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 tick. Yeah, which is actually tick, tock, because the Greek freak, when he goes to the line, he's so meticulous and so nervous, equal parts meticulous, equal parts nervous, he becomes Mr. Freeze. And it was really funny. There's some video going around from fans in the arena. I guess there were some Brooklyn fans there who were counting out, yelling as Giannis was taking foul shots, counting down, you know, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And that particular video clip, the referee didn't even call the violation. But if you think of this as building, right? A building. This is like a thin hairline crack in the foundation. And it's something that needs to be carefully monitored by the Bucks. Giannis has the super duper max contract. He ain't going anywhere. He's doubled down on Milwaukee. But if they're going to fully monetize this team, you got to figure out, is this a fad or is it a trend? Now, only time is going to tell, but Giannis has been pretty average as a foul shooter. No one would say he's good as a foul shooter, but better than some of those horrific big guys in the past that were terrible. Giannis also is not a very good three-point shooter. He's 1 of 8 from downtown in this game, and those are the kind of moles and warts where, like, the Bucks have to be perfect. Like, the Nets don't have to be perfect. They get James Harden gone. Kyrie can play not so good. You know, they've got other people around the team that can pick it up. Now, secondly, so the criticism of the Greek freak is not unjustified. Right? You know, there's some pushback on this, but you can be a great player and still have vulnerable points. Both these things can be simultaneously true. Shooting foul shots, of all of the things, if you think about our sports world in the United States here, and globally for that, man, I'm sure there's some sports I'm not thinking of, but shooting foul shots is the easiest thing in professional sports. It's an elementary skill set. It's a simple shot. It's ridiculous for a professional. And this is something literally anyone with marginal ability could conceivably do, right? You're probably not going to blow past an NBA-level defender and get to the basket. Probably not going to happen. You might not be able to get your shot off. Certainly wouldn't be able to laterally stop someone from running past you on defense. But if I gave you a basketball and I put you on the line, the foul line, you're standing there. No one's guarding you. No one's going to run up and block the shot. You're 15 feet from the backboard and you're on an island all alone. You're isolated. No one's going to stop it. It's you versus the rim. And yet, terrible, right? There's a clear path. No one interfering here. Giannis is not historically bad, as we said, as a foul shooter, but he's shaky enough to mess things up. And I realize Milwaukee won the game, and so people will dismiss this, and they'll sweep it under the rug and all that. Now, the final point here, the pushback on Antetokounmpo is the 10-second call. It's unfair. It's not fair that the excuse makers around the Bucks, they're claiming, well, you know, he shouldn't make the call. They can't claim that he didn't take more than 10 seconds. That's a fact. He took way more than 10 seconds. Not opinion. It's a fact. It's indisputable. It's airtight. In fact, he was closer to 13 seconds than he was 10 seconds. So instead, they are using the shoot the messenger defense, the time-tested shoot the messenger defense, blaming the officials or the media for their selective enforcement. And listen, is it selective enforcement? Yeah. Yeah, it's true, but that's how basketball operates. The referees typically swallow the whistle, but that doesn't negate the fact that Antetokounmpo has been procrastinating from the line. It's a boondoggle. he's become a rain delay at the foul line. Times have wasted. And if Giannis is going to continue to do this, if you're the other team and he's got the yips at the foul line, if you're Brooklyn, why would you not go to hack a Giannis, hack a Greek freak, and send him to the line and let's see what you got there? And as far as the NBA officials randomly enforcing certain calls, was this your first time watching the NBA? Of course they pick and choose. You can go any number of calls, right? LeBron James could run from one end of the court to the other, and most officials would say, oh, no, he took a dribble. He took a dribble somewhere in there. I didn't see it, but he took a dribble. I had a bad angle on it. That's what happened. You know, the three-second rule, that almost never gets enforced. I mean, you go on and on, right? I mean, there's a bunch of these things. Even on a foul shot, the players are supposed to stay back until the shot is released, and that very rarely happens. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show as we press on and on and on. Let's hear now, of course, the better story in the losing locker room, the Brooklyn Nets taking it on the chin here. And Steve Nash, who's the figurehead coach. Does anyone think Steve Nash is actually doing anything for the Nets other than talking to the media after the game? Well, here's Steve Nash pointing out that he was surprised the way that Brooklyn ended up losing this game.
It's interesting that we lose a game because of our offense, but you know, it was just a tough game. We just couldn't find our rhythm. You know, a great opportunity for us to learn and grow from this. And the defense was solid, though, but we got to clean it up, both ends of the floor, but particularly offense tonight.
Clean it up. Get a bucket. Get a mop. Scrub-a-dub-dub. Got to clean it up. All right, here's Kevin Durant. I wonder who he brought to the game. Now, every time I see Durant, I think of that porn star. I was like, oh, I wonder who Durant's at the game. I wonder what porn star he brought. Anyway, here's good for him. Kevin Durant pointing out he went to the bag of cliches here, and he went down physicality highway.
They played more physical. They were there at the rim. I mean, they just played their regular way. They played the way they've been playing the whole season. I think we got great looks. We didn't knock them down, but they also did a good job of contesting and being physical and, you know, blocking shots at the rim. For the most part, we got back into the game, had plays down the stretch, and, you know, they was able to make a couple more shots.
That was KD. Like, okay, let me string together here a bunch of cliches, and then I'll just be done. All right, how about Kyrie Irving? How did Kyrie do? The flat earth truther Kyrie Irving there. Let's see. Kyrie, the stat line, took 22 shots. He only made 9 of them, and the Nets were outscored while Kyrie was on the court. He did have 22 points. All right, here's Kyrie Irving pointing out that despite the loss, there were opportunities there for Brooklyn.
They made some big timely shots. Which carried them forward, but we had our chances down the stretch. It was a possession by possession game, you know, both teams battling. So that's a good old fashioned playoff game right there.
It sucked. It was not good. It was old fashioned. It reminded me of like the 1990s when Pat Riley was coaching the Knicks, and it was just terrible, horrific. But as far as the Nets' level of angst losing a game here, on the Maller scale of angst, it's like a zero. There's no pain. If anything, it's very mild for the Nets. They're not worried about this. Now, if they lose another one, then we can revisit this.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Koopa Loop. Let's end the week in style, Coop.
Ben, you've talked about what Julio Jones will or won't do for the Titans, but how about for Derrick Henry? So Chris Johnson of CJ2K fame, he was talking to TMZ when he predicted a huge year for the Titans running back thanks to teams no longer being able to stack the box. Ben, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a bad take. It's like he's already been great. How much better can Derrick Henry get? And you would rather have, if you're an opposing team, you would rather have Ryan Tannehill beat you than Derrick Henry. So I'm not buying this nonsense about Julio Jones and all that. Even though Tannehill's played better in Tennessee, his reputation precedes him. And Derrick Henry is still going to be facing a wall of humanity. And now that'll change if Julio Jones does flash back and go back in the Wayback Machine to a different time and A.J. Brown. But the way I look at it, the Julio Jones that played last season, it's a lateral move if he's the same player. Because they lost Corey Davis, and statistically, they were pretty similar receivers, Julio Jones and Corey Davis, last year. Corey Davis went to the Jets. Next!
There was a report that surfaced on Wednesday that said Kemba Walker is looking to be traded from the Celtics. Now, Ben, with Kemba being owed $108 million over the next 3 years, is he untradeable?
Yeah, well, you would say if you're a savvy team, why the hell would you get anywhere within 100 yards of Kemba Walker? But that's not how the NBA does business. The thing I learned years ago about all these sports leagues, never underestimate the greater fool theory. Players are traded from one fool to a greater fool until eventually their value plummets. But Kemba is not there yet. He's still 31. He's in his athletic prime, near the end of it. You can certainly hear the fat lady warming up for his career, but if Chris Paul, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook, all with super max contracts, all can be traded. Harden's good, but Paul looked like he was on the downside. He's bounced back, and Russell Westbrook. And so Kemba Walker's going to continue the nomadic lifestyle as a basketball gypsy. Next!
So if you've been watching the Jazz, I'm sure you've seen shots of Dwayne Wade on the sideline, high-fiving people. And it's got some Heat fans upset, you know, wondering why he, you know, didn't join ownership for the Heat. He said that, you know, it's location, he's closer to California, lives in L.A., all that. Do you think Miami Heat fans have a right to be upset about Dwayne Wade going into ownership of the Jazz?
All right, so first of all, it's confusing, right? Dwayne Wade has no connection to the Jazz other than he pulled out his checkbook. And, you know, this is a man bites dog story. You're mystified. I've seen it a few times here in the playoffs. You're like, what? Why is he there? He's not supposed to be there. Why doesn't he own part of the Miami Heat? But then again, Michael Jordan owns the Charlotte Hornets. So these things happen. But I said in the monologue, I'm convinced that Dwayne Wade is actually coaching the star here, Spider Mitchell. He's playing out of his mind here. I think that's a violation of NBA bylaws. How dare you? That's why the Jazz are up 2-0. Dwayne Wade's coaching better than Quinn Snyder. All right, how'd we do, Coop?
You pass this edition.
There it is. That's a winner. Put it on the board. Yeah. Whee!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Knock, knock. Who's there? Lame week. Lame week who? It's Big Ben's lame joke of the week.
These are actual jokes sent in by actual listeners like yourself. We always put out this warning. If you are easily triggered, if you don't have a funny bone, I get it. I know there are people like that. I'm not judging you, but this is not for you. We try to have fun, and these are not professionally written jokes. These are jokes sent in by people working in factories, driving trucks, people with insomnia that are up all night that love the show, and they send their jokes in. Care of Ben Maller Show at gmail.com. BenMallerShow@gmail.com. So here we go. Did you hear that Costco brought back free samples?
No, I didn't hear that. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, unfortunately, word reached Lizzo, and they are suspending them again for financial reasons. So it was short-lived. That's from James the Machinist in Minnesota, our buddy James. What do you call Lizzo's prejudice towards exercise?
I don't know. What do you call that?
Big a tree, Eddie. That's what you call it right there. That's a disposable horse napkins. What is Lizzo's advice for any up-and-coming star?
I don't know. What is her advice?
Stay hungry. All right. Did you know that while visiting the Suez Canal, Hayes actually bumped into Lizzo, our caller Hayes in Minnesota, went to Panama.
No, I didn't know that. I think the Suez Canal's in Africa, actually. But that's okay.
Well,
it's the Panama
according
Canal.
To Just Josh, he said the Suez Canal. But I didn't
Egypt,
write the joke.
It's in Egypt, anyway.
Shut the world's economy down for 2 weeks, Eddie. That was the punchline, Eddie, right there. Two weeks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just go with it, Eddie. Yeah, come on. As long as we're somewhat close. There is a canal in Panama, and there's a canal elsewhere. The Suez Canal. All right, anyway. What do the Lakers and a harmonica have in common?
The Lakers and a harmonica, what do they have in common?
Both involve sucking and blowing. So there you go. Get there. Why was it so difficult for the Clippers to get their team picture taken this year?
Well, I don't know. Why was that difficult?
Well, Paul George kept missing the shot. That was the problem. That was the problem. You play the laugh for that one, but not the Lakers joke. Okay, bias. That's from Just Josh again. Why was Kawhi's teammate nicknamed the Sweet Fart?
His teammates have
nicknamed him the Sweet Fart.
I don't know. Why did they do that?
Because he's silent but deadly. That's why they call him the Sweet Fart. That's Inca Terror with that joke. What is the real reason Pepe Le Pew won't be in Space Jam 2?
What's the real reason?
Well, it turns out, according to the critics, this movie already stinks enough with LeBron James in it, so they don't need Pepe Le Pew. It's from Tom from Fullerton. We're going to get canceled. Why did LeBron James look so worn out in the Lakers' first-round loss?
I don't know. Why did he look worn out?
Instead of taking time to recuperate, his entire offseason was spent battling the Goon Squad. James the Machinist. Oh, another Laker joke. I see how this goes. All right, we'll keep it going. It's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. These are actual jokes sent in by actual listeners like yourself. What did Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred say when asked about the use of spider tack?
I don't know, but he slurred his words, I'm sure.
He said, it's a sticky situation, is what he said. Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. Why are many major league pitchers seeking the services of Regina in Minnesota?
Oh, I don't know. Why are they doing that?
She's a spin rate expert, Eddie.
That's true.
Come on. That's obvious. Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. What is the rusty, hardened Roger Clemens defense Deshaun Watson will use?
I don't know. He misremembers or something?
His accusers misremembered what he said. Pressed for time, he asked them to beat the clock.
Uh-huh.
It's a Chip from Maine. What is Deshaun Watson's favorite TV show?
I don't know.
Crank Yankers. Why did Deshaun Watson only schedule massages every other day?
Why is that?
Load management. That's Surfer Todd the comedian with a wonderful joke. Good job by you. What's Lance Armstrong's favorite sports show?
I don't know.
Ballers, but he only watched one episode, Eddie. That's it. That's not right. Gordon in Tacoma. What did Will Craig say when he was named first baseman of the Pirates?
I don't know. What did he say?
He said, I guess I'm the error apparent, is what I All right. What do Logan Paul and anyone that paid to watch the fight have in common?
I don't know. What do they have in common?
They both have gotten held up by Floyd Mayweather Jr. That's Chip. Chip from Maine. All right. To support Big Ben, what is the Maller Militia motto?
I don't know. What's our motto?
Don't follow the herd. That's it right there. That's Surfer Todd, a comedian. Coop, you got any jokes over there, Coopaloop?
Yeah, I got one here. Okay. Let me see here.
All right, take your time. I have some for you. I have one for Roberto I can send away there.
Why did Jeffrey Epstein fail English?
Yeah, I don't know.
He couldn't finish his sentences.
Wow. All right. Always timely, a Jeffrey Epstein joke. All right, let's pause for the cause. We'll have a long segment. Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. Continue for the rest of the hour.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Why did Hayes in Minnesota take a break from calling the show, Eddie?
I don't know. He said he went to Panama.
No. He thought the Maller militia was too unwashed. Dave from Mill Valley, California. Did you know Hollering James has a sleep disorder?
I thought he might. Yeah, I didn't know it for sure, but it seems like there's an issue there.
Yeah, even Bill Cosby couldn't believe how quick he falls asleep. It's shocking. It's a Bill from Iowa. Why was Sir Scratchoff detained at the airport?
I don't know. Why was he detained?
Well, TSA said he had a ticking time bomb, but it turned out it was just his heart. Wow. Bill from Iowa. Yet again. Why did Sir Scratchoff spray deodorant in his mouth?
No, I don't know. Why did he do that?
He thought it would give him a sexy axe scent when he speaks, but that's an average Joe in Minnesota. What's the initial fallout from the Phalexis and Queen Roxanne feud, Eddie?
Oh, other than me muting Phalexis?
No, they both have their panties in a bunch, ironically enough. That's Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. What is Weed Man's favorite part of Florida?
I don't know. What is his favorite part of Florida?
Well, of course, the panhandle. Come on.
I've heard some more details from our man Robin Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I see he's still begging. I get dragged into these things. These Nimrods tag me in this stuff, so I nonstop.
Rob pranked him. It was pretty good.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I got to check that
he
out.
He sent him someplace to get pick up some money, and he never sent the money.
Oh, no. Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's outstanding. That was Chris in Des Moines who sent that one in. He also sent this one. Why did Weedman refuse to get an iPhone or other Apple products back in the day, Eddie?
Why is that?
He was never a fan of Jobs, you know. Chris in Des Moines again. Any jokes, Roberto?
I got from Aussie Momentum here.
All right.
My last one was from Aussie Momentum as well.
Okay.
What do you call a Mexican fighting a pedophile?
I don't know.
Alien versus Predator.
Wow. That's not right, man.
That's pretty funny.
All right. Anything, Coop?
What's the difference between a vacuum cleaner and Weed Man on a motorcycle?
I don't know.
The vacuum cleaner has the dirt bag on the inside. That's from 00 Mexican.
All right, what's Tammy's favorite cereal?
I don't know. What's your favorite cereal?
Apparently, according to Aussie Momentum, Cheery Hose. He's a big fan there. That's Aussie Momentum. Where does Hayes like to water ski?
I have no idea.
Well, come on, Eddie. That's easy. The Dead Sea. Come on. Just Josh. What was Spin Cycle Regina doing in Ohio recently?
I don't know. What was she doing there?
Yeah, but she was looking around for Dick and Dayton. She couldn't find him, though. I don't know what happened. That's Dave in Mill Valley. There you go. Kettering Banjo Society. Did you know that Hillbilly Mike had a pasta dinner the other night?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, he didn't want to drive the 25 miles to the restaurant, so he flew to Italy instead. There you go. Remember Hayes the other day, Eddie? He wanted some weed, so he went to Panama instead of driving a couple states over to get the weed. He went to Panama.
Yeah,
Coop, you got anything over there, Coop?
Yeah, I got one here.
All right.
What happens if Caitlyn Jenner goes missing?
I don't know.
They put a picture on cartons of Half and Half.
Wow. That's not right. That's not right.
From Billy Bob in Michigan.
Billy Bob. All right. This is from Hillbilly Mike. Did you know that Blair in Maine has contacted Major League Baseball about a job?
I did not know
that.
No.
Yeah, he wants to produce sticky stuff for their baseball, so he's ready to go. Why isn't Blair allowed to pitch for his softball team anymore?
I don't know why.
He keeps getting his hand stuck to his junk, apparently. That's a big problem. That's just Josh there. Why did Blair feel rejected when he was enjoying some happy time there?
Why is that?
His hand fell asleep. It was a big mess. That's Ozzy Momentum again. Did you hear Blair got arrested last time he was on a flight?
I did not hear that.
Yeah, they charged him with hijacking. That was a moment of again. What do you call a movie about Blair and his habit, Eddie?
I don't know. What do you call a movie about that?
A tear jerker. Why was Blair sad when he found out you could get paid for donating at the local sperm bank?
Why was he sad about that?
He realized he'd let millions of dollars slip through his hands, Eddie. He was devastated. That's a Stan.
Slip on his hands.
Stan, well, that depends. I don't know. Why is Coop not really that upset that the Lakers lost?
Oh, why is that?
Because the whole team went to pot, Eddie. That's why. Come on. That's Inca Terror. And how did Coop, Coopaloop come into existence?
How?
It's known as the Big Bong Theory. That's the disposable horse napkins.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Stay safe, get vaccinated, toss it over to Coop de Loop on all things movies, music, and entertainment in his great segment on Fridays, the Coop Scoop on Entertainment. Hooray for Hollywood.
Hooray for
I'll see you right back here on Monday. Take care.
I'm well so done. Honored he's quoting me.
Well
I
done. That. That's a great
job.
Great toss over to
yeah.
Coop.
Professional.
Get too carried away there. About that. It's okay. One of the greatest. I hear a lot of ambient noise.
Move
though,
that
right?
microphone a little bit more.
Grab a hold of that mic and just slide that thing
well, you
all
said
over.
Right you said you love when people impersonate you. So.
Oh.
Wow. Are you saying I grab the mic a lot? I'm not grabbing the mic right now. How dare you?
Well, back when you used to do the show from the studio, that was a constant.
I'm in
the
studio. I'm just not.
Of the show.
Well, yeah, because the mic's there. I'm not going to. I don't want to get into it. It'll only lead me down the garden path if I go there. So go ahead, Coop. What do we have?
All right. As far as what's in theaters this weekend, look, if you're into musicals, there's a good movie out that's got good reviews. Yeah, it's called In the Heights. It's from the creator of Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda. It's another Tony-winning musical. The movie comes out. It's also available on HBO Max. It's one of those ones where it's going to be on there for a month. The only other movie coming out this weekend is Peter Rabbit 2. I'm not sure who asked for that, but that's there if you have kids.
The American people need. They need a good rabbit movie.
Yeah, I guess. If you have kids that like the first one, I guess that's something that you can do this weekend. But as far as television shows that are premiering, actually, before I get to the ones that are premiering, I want to come back to a show that I mentioned last week on Coop Scoop on Entertainment. A Netflix fantasy series called Sweet Tooth. I've already finished the show. It was awesome. I definitely recommend it. It's a very cute show, so it's one that you probably could watch with your significant other.
Coop, we're doing sports radio, man. We've got testosterone. We can't handle cute. We're men.
Please.
Come on, how dare you?
Please. We all know that we go and watch these stupid shows with our significant others. Yeah.
That's true, but we're never supposed to admit it as men. We have to pretend like we don't.
Well, right? But see, this is why I do this segment, so you know that this is one that you can watch with them that they will enjoy, that you will also enjoy.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, that's Sweet Tooth on Netflix. As far as what's premiering this week, it's a bunch of season 2 premieres. So shows that have already been out, but I'm going to mention to you them anyway. Home Before Dark season 2, that is an Apple TV Plus show that is available right now. It was about a series about a kid who wants to be a journalist, and she goes and starts investigating stuff by herself. Another cutesy show, but also good. Moving on to Netflix, this is available right now. It's called Lupin. And it's the part 2 of Lupin. It's a French series, and it's about a master of disguise that pulls off heists. In the first season, he did a heist of the Louvre in Paris, and it's actually a really great show. It's really fascinating. It's kind of similar. It gives me.
Have you ever been to the Louvre?
I have.
You have.
I have.
Was it amazing? Was it life changing? The Louvre.
It was pretty awesome. You know, I went and saw the Mona Lisa, and I'm sure everybody who's seen
it. I went, it was closed.
damn it.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. Well, oh,
you've been there too. Look at you. Yeah. World globe trekkers. Look at
you. I'll tell you, like, and I'm sure most people say this that have seen the Mona Lisa. You can go, like, the Louvre, it's a giant museum. You can go all over the place, but in order to see the Mona Lisa, you have to get in a separate line, and you have to wait, like, a long time to see the Mona Lisa, and then when you finally do, you're like, you can only get within, like, 15 feet of it, and it's a really small painting to begin with. Like, so, I mean...
So, you're sounding like you were not overwhelmed with the Mona Lisa.
I will say that there were much cooler parts of the visit to the museum, in my opinion.
Okay.
But it was still pretty cool because it's such a famous painting. You're just like, wow, yeah. I'm in the same room as it, but, you know...
It's got a lot of street cred.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But anyway, that show, French series, that's available on Netflix. And then last but not least... On Wednesday on FX, it's going to be season 2 of the show Dave. I think this is one of the funniest shows on television right now.
His name is Dave, and they call him Dave.
Yes, exactly. it's kind of about a comedic take on the real life of the rapper Little Dicky. His real name is Dave.
And from Dicky's Barbecue, sure, yeah.
Not exactly, anyway, white Jewish rapper. He's hilarious.
There's a lot of white Jewish rappers. Come on. When I was a kid, you know, at the Shoal there, it might get me to tell you, every weekend, they'd be rapping about matzo balls. You know, it was outstanding.
His name is Dave, and he's known as Dave.
But no, trust me on this one. If you haven't seen the show before, go back and watch the first season. It's hilarious.
Pretty funny.
And that is Coop Scoop Entertainment. Hilarious.